Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is going to be Amy Gardner of No HPV Mandate Rhode Island, and she's going to be calling in shortly. She may be on the road, not completely sure. So, let's see. What it says here, I will just read you what her announcement reads. Hashtag No HPV Mandate Rhode Island, working to reverse the HPV vaccine mandate in Rhode Island and advocate for informed consent. Wonderful. Amy Gardner just called in, and I'm going to pick her up forthwith. Welcome, Amy Gardner.
Hi.
Well,
how are you?
You know, I saw that you were having a rally, and I thought I'm going to help this woman get the word out because action is needed desperately. Please explain to everybody what's transpired and what you're planning on achieving and how you're going to go about it.
Well, the Rhode Island Department of Health mandated the HPV vaccine for all seventh graders, boys and girls. They actually did it in July of 2014, but it wasn't even publicly known until the schools sent home letters in June of 2015. And so we started rallying and gathering people, and this all started last summer. And since then, we have gotten legislation presented at the State House to support us in our efforts in getting this HPV vaccine removed from the vaccination schedule so that it is no longer a requirement for school entrance. So on March 31st, the Senate bills S-2292 and S-2295 will be heard by the Health Committee of the Senate in Rhode Island. We will have a rally at the State House at 3:30 p.m., and approximately 4:30 p.m. is when the hearings will begin. And
these are the hearings on the two bills you just mentioned to overturn this mandate. And could you tell me the difference between the two bills?
Well, the SS-2292 is more thorough in its terminology, and the SS-2295 says what the SS-2292 does with a little less in it. So basically, both bills will be supported, but we feel that the SS-2295 might end up being just combined with the SS-2292 because they're so similar. But basically what they do is they remove the HPV mandate off of the school schedule for school inclusion, and it restricts the Department of Health from being able to mandate any future vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease that cannot be transferred in the classroom. So if anything else comes down that basically falls into the same category in the future, these bills will prevent that from being able to be mandated. They also, because currently the Department of Health doesn't have much of any accountability, and they can make these decisions without informing the public and without legislative oversight, they have quite a lot of power and nobody that they need to answer to, really. So these bills will also require them to have three public hearings prior to a mandate being finalized that they want to try to mandate for anything, whether it's a communicable disease or whether it's not a communicable disease. Any mandate to add to the vaccination schedule, they will be required to hold three public hearings for people to be informed and have the ability to have a forum to discuss prior to it being finalized. One part of the bill that we are advocating for an addendum or some kind of terminology change is although those hearings are great and we definitely support them because we didn't have any previous knowledge, the terminology does not actually tell the Department of Health any form of accountability that they have to do if the public does speak up and say, no, we don't agree. This shouldn't be on the mandated schedule. This is not something that the majority of the public wants to have for our school inclusions. There isn't any terminology that says what the next process needs to be or what they're supposed to do. The terminology currently only requires a hearing, so they could have these hearings and then they could still do what they want. So the hearings are definitely positive, so we can be informed in the future, but we would like to see some kind of an addendum that gives a follow-step process so that there's checks and balances. Then it also puts forth the philosophical exemption to reinstate the philosophical exemption in the state of Rhode Island. We did have it at one time about 22-ish years ago. It was removed, so we only have the religious and the medical exemptions. So these bills will also reinstate the philosophical exemption in the state of Rhode Island.
So, I see. Both bills would reinstate the philosophical exemption or just one?
I believe it's in both bills, but it's definitely in the SS-2292, the one that has the more specific terminology in it.
Yes.
Both bills complement each other, and like I said, they're very similar. So it's a high likelihood that they will more be combined rather than actually end up being two separate bills that go through the House or through the Senate, I should say.
Well, I was just writing.
This is huge.
Yes, it is huge, and I want to congratulate you for getting it this far. Who are the bill sponsors for each of the bills?
The 2295 was introduced by Senator Morgan and co-sponsored by Kettle. 2292 was introduced by Rep. Kakis, and both Morgan and Kettle co-signed onto it, along with Lombardi, and I'm probably going to say the fifth person's name wrong. I believe it's Giroir, but I'm not good at saying his last name correctly. We have five total on the 2292, and there's two on the 2295.
I see. Okay. Well, I don't know if you, as in New York, have a greater number of Democrats than Republicans, and if they are divided along the lines of mandating versus non-mandating. I have a question.
I believe two of the five people that have sponsored 2292 are Democrats. And three of them are Republicans. Far as in general in Rhode Island, we have way, way more Democrats. I think the percentage is 80%, maybe 85% Democrat between the House and the Senate versus Republican. And then we have Blake Filippi. Is an independent. He is not registered as a Democrat or a Republican. And he's awesome. He co-signed the House bills that we heard last week. We testified on the House bills that were presented, and next week is the Senate bills, and next week is the rally.
Yes.
So we had Justin.
What are the issues that you will be raising at this rally?
Well, basically, we want to bring attention. We want anybody that didn't already hear about what's going on, anybody that didn't already manage to, that we didn't already manage to catch their attention, we're just trying to make sure that we're catching that many more people's attention. Show up at the State House. Even if you don't speak, yeah, we have a process here that outside the door to the hearing, before the hearing starts, there's a sign-up where you can sign your name and you can say that you are for the bill and that you can say, no, I'm not going to speak. But you simply sign up to say, I am here and I support this. Or you can say, yes, I'm going to speak, and you can get up. And even if you only say three sentences, you don't have to feel like you need to get up there and have a full speech. But we need to stress to people that attendance and having that sign-in sheet at the State House, showing the State House that there is an outcry of the public saying, we agree with this, pass this bill, and restrict the Department of Health's ability to do this to us again in the future.
Are you going to be bringing up other issues of parental rights, of vaccine ingredients, of reactions known? Are there going to be any issues like that raised?
There will be some doctors in attendance that are on our side that are in support. Or these bills, I should say, that are in support of what we've been doing. We had our October 2nd event where we had Dr. Tony Bark and we had Brandy Vaughn come and speak on topics, and we had some local doctors that we have also speak at that event where we brought a lot of awareness in that respect. So we do have people that will...
Dr. Lee, I understand, is or was a pathologist with New York Hospital or New York Presbyterian. I'm not sure. But he would be a very valuable speaker as well, Dr. Sinhang Lee.
Yes, he would be. And last I knew, he resided in Connecticut. And I am continuing to contact even people... specifically later today and Monday. I'm going to try not to bother too many people on Easter Sunday.
I know two people who know how to contact him. I know two people who know how to contact him. I will give you their names and contacts after the show.
Okay.
Right.
But, yes, I definitely am reaching out. We're trying to make as big and as strong of a stance in one shot, one day, and show how serious the Rhode Island citizens are. Like, enough is enough. A line has to be drawn. And we are in charge of what is happening with our children, and something that is not transferred in the classroom, so it has no way of being stated as a public health issue, should absolutely not be attached to the schedules of immunizations in order to attend school. It's an overreach, and it's unacceptable, and we've been working very hard, and we are very happy that we have made it this far, and we're gonna show up with a bang on Thursday.
There's also John. John, I just interviewed him. A very, very thorough interview. I hope that you heard it. John Lyons Weiler, PhD. He will be going down to the rally in Atlanta and speaking, not on the HPV, but nonetheless speaking. Perhaps he is trying to think where he lives. I don't know if he's close enough to come. I'm not sure about that. But nonetheless, I'll give you his contact.
I did listen to your interview, and I do actually have his contact information.
Okay, fine. Okay.
So, so I do. I can.
All hands on deck. All hands on deck for this, you know. So,
yeah.
Okay.
We're
Now, Diane Harper was supposed to have come and spoken at your last gathering. Is she available or is she not available?
I don't know if she is available or not to come in regards to this Thursday. Unfortunately, it was literally just scheduled yesterday.
Right.
The State House doesn't. We actually got lucky that it was scheduled yesterday for next Thursday, and we pretty much got one full week notice. That doesn't always happen, and sometimes you only have 48 hours notice with our State House. So we're very excited to have a six-day notice and be able to try to rally together as much as possible, you know, in a week versus 2 days.
Right. Okay. Well, this it sounds like you are on top of it, that if anybody can achieve this, you can. But I do know personally of two instances, and I say this because it is a grave frustration, wherein 100 people who addressed their legislatures were ignored. 100% of the people who showed up and objected were ignored. So that has left me kind of agog of, you know, who people are serving, and how in one case hundreds of people could have been ignored, you know, of the 100% who spoke in opposition. So and both instances were mandated situations. So
it is definitely unfortunate that those situations could happen. We definitely try to keep a positive light on all of it, and a positive light particular with our situation is last week with the House hearings, there was only one person that signed in to the hearing in opposition of having the House portion of the bills passed, and there was multiple sheets. They had to the first sheet got full, and they had to put out more sheets for more people to sign in. So there was lots of support for the House side of the bills, and only one person signed in opposing the bills on the House side. So we and the Rhode Island Department of Health did not even show up or make a statement on the House side of the bills in regards, even though it's something that will restrict their authority and make them have more steps and processes for them to be able to do this. So the good thing is, so far, it doesn't look like we have a lot of opposition, but we won't know until it's time for the actual vote, what the end result is. But we've been working very hard. We've been doing a lot on social media and a lot online and speaking at events. And I personally try to show up to as many different events throughout the state of Rhode Island into different towns as I can, whether they are fundraising events, whether they are business networking events, whether they are just community events. I go and I bring miniature sizes of the flyers that I also in full size will post on community bulletin boards. I will bring small size of those with me and speak to people and share them and try to get more people to become even more aware as I'm meeting them in person. So I'm not just depending on social media and on the internet and media in general, newspapers. I'm not just depending on those to get the word out. I physically have showed up at many locations to just talk to as many people as I can get to talk to,
well,
to just know about it.
I interviewed a woman who is a very, very major activist, and she said she recommended that I, here in New York, get out to my Chamber of Commerce, find out what events they are throwing, and attend the Chamber of Commerce events. What I do, and I have found this so incredibly useful, it is overwhelming. 1 year I took 50 completely different actions regarding vaccination, and this is the one that succeeded like gangbusters, and to this day I am reaping the rewards of. And that is utilizing your local public access television stations, talking to the producers there, seeing if you can get on their shows if they have live shows, as soon as possible, like heading there when you get off the phone with me and seeing if anybody will have you on their program, because, and hold up a sign that reads "No HPV Mandate Rhode Island" so that people don't, you know, so they don't, just a sign that says vaccine will make people stop. Anything that says vaccine, okay? This is, don't just be interviewed. Have a sign. Handmade, fine. Doesn't matter as long as it's legible, large and legible. And this is now people cross the street to get my handouts. I used to have to chase people down the street. And now they see me, their eyes pop open, and they come across the street to get whatever it is I'm distributing. This is such a different dynamic. You can imagine how wonderful it would be for you to experience. Likewise, people coming towards you, rushing towards you, thrilled that you have something for them. Okay? This is different. And it's because of local public access television. I will send you a link where you can find your local station.
Okay. That sounds good. I know
area for everyone else listening. I'll put it in the comment area underneath the radio show for everyone else listening. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say we were on a couple of different shows earlier in this fight, and I personally was on the Al Jazeera. Is that how you say it? The American...
Al Jazeera.
There you go. I didn't say it right. Yes. So I was interviewed on that, and I have the video clip from that too. So we definitely have been working to get out and get visible in all avenues that we can.
Right. Well, if you have your own show, you can do it weekly live if you want your own show, and you can submit tapes. But all of that will take time to go through. I would just head over, meet all the producers, and say, I need to get the word out. Can you help me? And the ones who have live shows, that those are who you need to know. Go to the programming department and say, who has a live show? How can I contact them? Because everybody who does have a show also has a contact. So you definitely want that, because the people just trip into you. Just lots of people trip into you. It's crazy how effective this is. And by the way, they are using public access television to promote the HPV vaccine itself, using every fear tactic conceivable, and not a whisper of an adverse reaction. It is startling. So the drug companies are using this free service because it's a health program. It's not a pharmaceutical drug. It's a health program, as Brandy Bone would say. And they can promote it as if it only is good for you. And they can give every, really, truly a startling PSA how deliberate their attempt to scare people into accepting this vaccine was. So the drug companies who have all the money in the world are utilizing this free service. Please be as smart as they are.
Yes, it's definitely a huge issue of informed consent, which is also what we're advocating for, which is also why the public hearings and these bills are such a good step. It's such a good thing because we were not informed ahead of time. And even when the public spoke out in large numbers at the public hearings that they had last time after they mandated it versus before they mandated it, they were basically, the Rhode Island Department of Health was basically like, oh, well, we think this is the right decision. We're not changing our minds, which is why we had to continue to work all these months and then lobby the representatives and the senators at the State House and get legislation written. And there's lots of, I don't want to try to sound like I'm taking credit for all of this.
Well,
I'm definitely personally.
I know you are spearheading this effort, so don't be modest. It really is remarkable what you have achieved, and I'm sure a lot of people are working with you, no doubt about it, but you are the go-to girl on this issue.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to give shout-outs to the fact that there is at least 10 to 12 people off the top of my head that have shown up at the State House and did support in this lobbying and did support in talking to people with one-on-one appointments of their senators and legislators before the bills were written. And I'm sure there's even more that went up there and said something that I don't personally know about. So I just did want to shout out to the Rhode Island citizens and the people out there that are doing it, because there's no way that this could have happened with just one person. So it is beyond awesome that there are so many people that are making the phone calls, so their legislators are supporting this effort.
Well, I have about 15 interviews with Gardasil survivors, and they don't call themselves victims. They call themselves survivors, and they are completely startling. I did this for the purpose of addressing my local and state legislators, but certainly these interviews with the mothers and sometimes the girls are evident. Came on my program to respond to the fact that I wanted to provide evidence for the legislators before they were to vote or to reverse a vote. You know, sometimes, as you say, you have to work towards undoing something, and it's always far more difficult. So also, as a Democrat, the reason I brought up Democrats versus Republicans, obviously in New York we have a whole lot of Democrats as well. I'm not even sure that 80%, you have a startling amount, but I called every single state legislator who was a Democrat, and I said, as a Democrat, I am calling you. And the reason I am calling you, and I'm not sure which bill it was in regard to, certainly I've been active for many years on many bills, but it might have been the HPB, I'm not sure. I said to them, since when has parental rights been a bipartisan issue? Because I am finding that in the removal of parental rights, that the Republicans are far more kindly on the preservation of parental rights, and yet this is not part of your, creed as a Democrat. There is. So why are you following a party line that is not a party decision? You know? So why would parental rights, the removal of them, be far more palatable to a Democrat than a Republican down the line, practically? So I said, as a Democrat, I do not see this as a partisan issue. And I am asking you why the Democrats are behaving this way and to reconsider, because it is not, parental rights are not a partisan issue.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It should never be a division of lines when it comes to the rights, especially medical decision rights, whether it's about a parent to a child or even 17, 18-year-old trying to make medical decisions on their own behalf. And now we're having lots of things happen where doctors making suggestions and somebody wants a second opinion, and that is being frowned upon, and that's just not acceptable. Everybody should have the right to look at different options for their personal health care along with their children's health care. That's not specifically related to our topic right now, but in general, all of that should be respected no matter what your party affiliation is.
I also have a video with two mothers who traveled from afar to help me address the New York legislature. One from Maryland and one from New Jersey came and spoke on the steps of our city hall. Because we were trying to get the local legislators to overturn two resolutions that were very harmful and also promoted state legislature. So, legislation. So you should definitely share that. These are two women who are living through a nightmare with their children suffering, and they're very clear in how catastrophic the outcome is. So I hope you will share that video. It's an extremely important video.
Definitely send me the link directly to it and the link or any information for getting as quickly in contact with Dr. Lee as possible. That'd be awesome, too.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's another issue I wanted to broach. I'm trying to think. there's so many things that I was thinking of as you were speaking, but anyway, so what are your instructions for people who live in Rhode Island? Give them instructions where to meet and why to meet the importance, bona fide importance of their participation.
Oh, is it so, so extremely important? We had a good number show last week at the House hearing. We did not have a rally. We attended the hearing. So this coming week, Thursday the 31st, the rally right outside the front of the State House, 3:30 p.m., and at the rise of the Senate, which is approximately 4:30 p.m., that they will divide into the different committees for the hearings. And at that time, we will separate from the rally to go to the hearing and for everybody to sign in. Now, for anyone that possibly works late, but they work in Providence near the State House, if you have the ability to take a 20-minute break, come down to the State House for 4 p.m. and show up, support the rally for a few minutes, go inside, sign the paper that you are in support of the bill, and go back to work. That is still a very huge help. Anybody that is anywhere near the area should not feel that they absolutely have to be available for the whole rally and for the whole hearing. If you can show up and get there and sign in onto that hearing paper and you have to leave again, that is still essential. But showing up, especially if you do have an unfortunate injury from the Gardasil vaccine or somebody that is an immediate family member has an injury from the Gardasil vaccine, talk about it. Come and speak. Even if you simply want to say that you support the bill and that you thank the legislators that introduced this bill and you feel it is extremely important, and that's all you choose to say is those three sentences, that helpful. I just cannot stress enough showing up getting there and getting those names on that paper, which goes onto the record. They say those names out loud. They read them into the recorded record. It shows on permanent files how many people are in support of this and how many citizens are for this passing through the committee to get to the Senate floor. It's huge. And teenagers, the ones that are affected by this, get them there. Have them, if they're willing to, they should speak also. This is affecting them. Let their voice be heard. Let them see in person our legislative process in the State House. Not only is this an unbelievably important moment, it is also a great personal experience moment for the teenagers. So because the rally is at 3:30 p.m., depending on where you live, you might have to leave school 1 hour early with your teenager to get there on time, but they wouldn't even have to miss a whole day of school to make this happen. So 3:30 p.m., front of the State House, Thursday, get there, make a difference. Bodies.
Where is the State House in Rhode Island? Is that in Providence?
Yes, in Providence.
Okay.
I believe it's 82 State Street, I think is the exact address.
And
but when you're on the main...
There are buses that go from... And there's a train stop. Where would you take a train to?
Oh, yeah. The busing, definitely. Busing can drop you off right at the corner of the road with the State House. There is also a train station in Providence. I actually don't know offhand if it's walking distance to the State House, or maybe you might have to take the train and then take a bus from the train to the State House. I honestly don't know that answer. I do know that it is like 2 minutes off of the highway. So when you're on Interstate 95, the exit sign literally says State House and State Offices. So it tells you that you know you have the right exit, and it is 2 minutes and lots of signs pointing exactly where you need to be, so you don't even have to know your exact street name. If you're following the signs, you're going to get there. There is parking, as far as parking meters. So you do need quarters so that you can park in the city. You have to pay the parking meters.
Right. And also, things keep slipping from my mind. I'm so sorry. Well, one of the things I was thinking is maybe you could have one person waiting in a car by the train station if you choose a specific time for people who are coming from out of your area. They arrive at a specific time on a train that you can transport them. You know, I'm
yes,
just thinking what would make
I am willing to
facilitate this.
I am willing to arrange any form of assisted transportation that I am capable of. I will try to get volunteers together if people, but I need to know that I actually have people coming in from a train. So anyone from across the nation can call 401-406-2647 and contact me. Tell me you're coming in by train, you need assistance to get from the train to the State House, or ask me any question about anything. I will willingly answer my phone as efficiently and as often as I can, and I will assist in any way that I'm able to do so, and I will work with volunteers that I have, and I will try to get as many different options as I can out there.
Also, if you would, Amy, put underneath this radio show, if you scroll down in the comment area, your Facebook page. I didn't put that directly underneath. I put the link to your blog. But nonetheless, put your Facebook page so people might be able to message you there. Also, parents, the parents who came from afar to New York to speak, their children are so severely damaged they could not come with them. But the parents, come whether your child is able to come with you or not. Please come and speak.
Yes, definitely. That's why I said whether the person themselves or an immediate family member was injured, that is injured is welcome, obviously. The face is impactful, but if that person is not capable of coming, then we, of course, want the parent or guardian to come and speak and say that there is more to this than
or
the
siblings. Siblings, you know, the mother may be caring for the child. I started a group called Siblings of Vaccine-Injured Children because I saw that they were more available to take action. So please, if you're the sibling, you don't need to be the parent. If the parent needs to be with the injured child, you can come. Anybody who can talk in real terms with real firsthand experience is who Amy Gardner wants to show up, okay? And anybody in support, show up, you know?
Yeah, right. Anybody that also supports the parental choice, I mean, again, the bottom line is we're fighting this because it has nothing to do with school and it was mandated just to go to school. There's not going to get into the argument of the other vaccines and communicable diseases and whether or not everything should or should not be mandated. But the bottom line with this one is it couldn't even fall under the umbrella of a public health threat in the classroom. So there's no absolute logic behind mandating it to show up to school. So anybody out there, even if you don't have any kids.
Right, exactly.
I was going to say,
if you understand what's happening, show up. I wanted to bring up the American College of Pediatricians, who has come out saying that the Gardasil or the HPV vaccines create early ovarian failure, which would be early menopause or sterility. Can anybody from the American College of Pediatricians come and share this information as well? Something you might look into.
Yes, and if anybody heard you say that but is not aware of it, I posted that on my blog. So if they go to the blog link that you included, they can find the information in regards to what Dr. Lee released, and they can find the information that the pediatric group released on the blog and their statements and their information. And also they can find the Dr. Lyons, Lyons Weller, is that how you?
He says that Weiler, even though it's spelled Weller, he says Lyons Weiler.
Okay. His document, as far as the statement from the group that he is involved in, and also a link to your personal interview with him, that is on my blog. So people can go to the blog and they can find out what we as a group in Rhode Island have been doing and what we're telling through our updates, and they can also find the other information that has been put out there publicly from other organizations. It's on the blog.